State health officials say testing for one particular disease needs to increase, especially in pregnant people. It's Wednesday, October 11th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show this Wednesday, a former conservative Supreme Court justice has advised Assembly Speaker Robin Voss not to pursue impeachment against Justice Janet Protasiewicz. We'll have that story in just a bit. And Danielle Kading looks into a new report from the Sierra Club, which says most utilities are not moving fast enough to shift away from fossil fuels and invest in clean energy. Stay with us.
Politics, environment, trade, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Health officials in the state of Wisconsin are urging medical providers to increase testing for syphilis, especially in pregnant people. As Hope Kerwin reports, the number of congenital syphilis cases has increased dramatically.
While syphilis is mainly spread through sexual contact, congenital syphilis occurs when a pregnant person passes the infection to their unborn child. Wisconsin only had 2 cases of congenital syphilis in 2019, but following an increase in all syphilis infections in the state, the number of congenital cases rose to 29 last year. Craig Berger from the State Department of Health Services says the increase started when the COVID-19 pandemic shut down clinics and other resources.
We did have less testing taking place, therefore there was probably less folks who know that they had syphilis.
Berger says DHS has changed their recommendation from 1 syphilis test during pregnancy to 3 tests to increase detection. He says they're also increasing efforts to educate people who test positive and improve tracing of recent sexual partners. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
About 40% of Wisconsin students were proficient in reading and math last school year. That's according to new data released by the Department of Public Instruction this week. Standardized test scores are improving, but still not back to pre-pandemic levels. During the height of school lockdowns, students had a proficiency rate of just over 33%. Andrea Donegan with DPI says learning loss is still being attributed to the pandemic.
Students were put in a very challenging position of having to really pivot quickly and need to develop additional coping strategies for all of those challenges that emerge.
Despite the gains, Wisconsin continues to have the worst achievement gap between white and black students in the country. Less than 11% of black students are proficient in reading and math. That's compared to nearly 50% of white students. A former conservative Supreme Court justice has advised Assembly Speaker Robin Voss not to pursue impeachment against Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Anya Van Wagendonk has more.
In a letter to Voss, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice David Prosser wrote that Protasiewicz has not committed a crime or engaged in corruption. He also warned that impeachment could be viewed as a purely partisan move. The letter was obtained by the Washington, D.C.-based group American Oversight. Heather Sawyer is the group's director.
We are extraordinarily happy that our actions have shaken free this opinion, because we do, at the end of the day, think the most important thing is for the people of Wisconsin to know what's happening when the government is acting behind closed doors.
Voss asked Prosser to advise on potentially impeaching Protasiewicz if she did not recuse from a challenge to Wisconsin's legislative maps. Protasiewicz announced last week that she would hear the case, citing previous writings by Prosser involving recusal standards. Anya Van Wagendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
First Lady Jill Biden met with Menominee Nation leaders yesterday to learn how federal investments are making a difference in the community. While on the reservation, she toured the tribe's sawmill and college. The First Lady also spoke at a women's empowerment summit. The sawmill received $1 million in federal funding this year. The college won a federal grant of more than $300,000 last year. Biden was joined by U.S. Secretary of Interior Deb Haaland. She's the first Native American to serve as cabinet secretary. Haaland says the administration has invested more than $40 billion in the country's indigenous communities since the president took office.
These are investments in infrastructure, broadband internet, water access, clean energy, and economic development initiatives.
The day before visiting the Menominee, the First Lady attended a Monday night football watch party in Green Bay to raise awareness for cancer screenings. most utilities are not moving fast enough to shift away from fossil fuels and invest in clean energy. That's according to a new report by the Sierra Club. And as Daniel Kading reports, that includes Wisconsin's largest utility.
The Sierra Club examined 77 utilities nationwide. The environmental advocacy group measured their progress toward retiring coal, ending construction of new natural gas plants, and building clean energy projects. Overall, utilities received a D grade on pledges to cut carbon emissions. So did Wisconsin's largest utility, We Energies. Montrey Moore with the Environmental Justice and Infrastructure Initiative says he'd like more action behind climate goals.
It's one thing to write a fancy goal down, but I don't really see the muscle to really push it forward.
The Sierra Club says We Energies can and should do better. A utility spokesperson says it's closing less efficient fossil fuel units and investing billions of dollars in renewable energy in Wisconsin. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Milwaukee's Common Council and Mayor could soon get a significant pay raise under a new proposal. If passed, the mayor's salary would be raised by 15% to nearly $170,000 a year. Common Council members would also get $11,000 more every year. They would make around $84,000. The move comes months before the city is said to get an influx of cash from a new 2% sales tax. Milwaukee was allowed to raise that tax because of the recently passed shared revenue law. Republican State Representative Bob Donovan says the timing of the proposal is concerning to him, as the city is likely to face future budget shortfalls.
I think the optics are incredibly bad with this, especially at this time.
If approved, this would be the first raise for the council and mayor in 15 years. Coming up, the Madison Public Library's Naturalist in Residence wants more people to reconnect to the wonder and curiosity we have about nature. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about connecting with nature.
Quantee's winter's goal is to get people outside more. As Madison Public Library's naturalist in residence, she wants people to think about and appreciate nature. Christina Leffring went to Madison's Troy Gardens to bring us Winter Story.
So beautiful. Mm-hmm. As long as you just take a silent moment, take a couple of deep breaths, just take it in.
You can hear the insects singing their final songs, squirrels frantically preparing for winter, and migratory birds preparing for their long journey. And Quantis Winters wants you to take it all in.
I want you to see the beauty and the enchantment of like the trees and how they sound when the wind is blowing through them, the vibrant colors of the flowers, the smell of dirt, which is like my favorite smell on the planet. I wish I could bottle it up. Like, I want you guys to like have that feeling, almost like being a child again. Like, everything amazes you when you're a child.
Nature has been a safe space for Winters since she was a young girl. Now she's the Madison Public Library's Naturalist in Residence. Her first event in this role was a meet and greet and tour at Troy Farms, where she was an apprentice in 2019. She says that apprenticeship deeply transformed her relationship with farming.
My only understanding of agriculture and Black people was slavery. So I came here with the intention of dismantling that by getting my hands in the dirt and doing this work outside of that context.
She had started this work when she learned that her grandfather had been Gullah Geechee, descendants of Africans who were enslaved, and built a distinct culture in the coastal southeastern U.S.
Knowing how to grow food was something that was used to sustain their families and their communities. And so with that perspective in mind, it really helped me to see that this is a gift. There's a lot of medicine out here. And I don't just mean as in food is medicine, but I mean on a spiritual level, being able to know how to grow your own food reminds you of the smallness of yourself and the bigness of nature.
Winters has worn many hats over the years. She's a doula, an herbalist. She hosted a PBS Wisconsin show called Let's Grow Stuff. Plus, she's an artist and a writer. But instead of taking one hat off and putting another on, all of Winter's hats seem to overlap.
There's an aspect of each that requires me to nurture a certain aspect of humanity, and I think that's what links it all together. When I'm creating art and when I'm writing, I'm trying to like nurture the minds of the people who are engaging in what I'm creating. When it comes to my doula work, I'm trying to nurture people's relationship with their bodies. And when I'm working with the land, I'm trying to nourish us not only physically by growing food, but also nourishing that mental, emotional, spiritual aspect.
Maybe that drive to nurture is one reason she's so comfortable with children. When some of the toddlers keep trying to climb on picnic benches, she scoops them up and puts them in her lap.
Can we sit together, Poo-Poo?
I don't want you to get on the table. Children are like very much a part of what I do and what inspires me. Just seeing how they approach the world and how they navigate the world with that like freshness and innocence.
For so many of us, our connection and knowledge of our natural world has been lost. Winter's journey as a naturalist is about reclaiming that connection and also the wonder we often leave behind in childhood.
Sometimes the world just kind of goes gray, but we don't take a time to just like stop and be like, wow, what's around me is beautiful. And so I would hope to be able to offer that through like all the different things that we do together, is for y'all to like walk away with that and to feel like a kid again when you're outside.
Yeah, great question. Thank you.
Yes. Christina Leffring brought us that story on Quantee's Winters of Madison. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Hey, after today, we are more than halfway through the work week, and we're almost halfway through October. I can't believe it. Don't forget, you can catch us anywhere you get your podcasts every single weekday morning. That means we'll be here tomorrow and Friday, of course. All you got to do is hit that subscribe button, and we'll show up in your podcast feed automatically. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.